You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. If you had told me the first decent video game movie was going to be a Pokemon one, I would have laughed in your face. And yet here we are.
You
know, I feel like this is the point where I would make a case for the Rampage movie, but I'm probably the only person in the room who thinks that, so they're just going to move
on. It had a few moments.
Did you even see it?
I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was... You know, we're not talking about that.
Yeah,
we're talking about the man pokes.
Best video game movie since Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Which doesn't count because it's not based on an actual video game.
It's just video game adjacent.
Yes, exactly. That's the video game topic, not based on a specific video game. I, of course, will always give points, albeit they're not good movies, but they're fun movies of the first Resident Evil and the first Mortal Kombat. Neither one of which you look back and go, oh, these are really good movies.
But
they're fun in a way that you're like, this is kind of bad fun. Yeah. You know?
Sure.
As opposed to Street Fighter, which is an abomination. No,
there was that Street Fighter Chun-Li movie with, is it Chris Klein in it?
Oh,
who even remembers?
Good bad movie.
It's so bad.
No, Chris Klein, that movie kicks ass.
Well, I was talking about the Street Fighter movie that was Raul Julia's last film.
Or Super Nintendo Brothers, was that it?
Super
Mario
Brothers.
Mario Brothers.
You plebeian fuck.
With Dennis Hopper as a...
I love that movie.
It's kind of, it's like, you look back, I think with the benefit of hindsight, we're able to look back on certain films.
It's fun to look back and just be like, man, that was an insane time.
I mean,
like,
if anything,
Brothers is a gold standard of bad.
Choices were made.
You have a movie where, yes, choices were made. They're not good choices, but they were made.
There's no denying.
And they committed
choices.
To it. As opposed to something like Warcraft or Assassin's Creed, where it's just like, I guess this exists.
I still feel like Warcraft could have been a good movie.
Oh, no,
it's,
absolutely.
It's not far from a good movie, but it's not quite there.
It's one of the weirdest parts of the lore of the Warcraft universe, though, that's like, yeah, that's not a really good place to get people really excited to watch more of this.
Weirdly, one of the problems with that is it didn't spend enough time with the world building in the sense of feeling like there was a bigger world outside of everything that was directly involved with the plot. And I think that's one of the things that makes Pokemon Detective Pikachu actually work as well as it does, is that it really does spend a lot of time coloring and detailing every aspect of this world above and beyond the stuff that directly concerns the character.
Yeah, I think it's one of the two things that worked in this movie. Everything else kind of is flat. But I think that totally works. It's like there's a ton of cute Pokemon, a weird Pokemon. I don't know anything about Pokemon, but I was watching it, was like, oh, that thing's cool. Like, look at this wild guy over here. Like, it was like fun to just look at. So, I mean, that's a notch in his belt, I guess. It's pretty good in that regard.
And I couldn't be more surprised. This is directed by Rob Letterman, who did the Monsters vs. Aliens.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Just Okay Shark Tale, and the really bad Gulliver's Travels.
The guy doesn't have the best track record.
He doesn't. So I went into this. I was shocked when everybody I knew was like, I'm so excited for this. I'm like... Was there a trailer I missed before this that you're talking about? Because what movie are you talking about?
The
Detective Pikachu?
Movie.
Like, yes, don't you love Ryan Reynolds? I mean, I'm like, well, yeah, but it's Pokemon Detective Pikachu. I didn't grow up with that affection.
Right, exactly. So. And that's really kind of where this movie is going to find its audience, I think, is everyone who's grown up with this or who plays Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
And I mean, and then to riff on what we were talking about earlier, the idea behind the Pokemon franchise and the thing that makes it almost kind of perfect for a movie is that there's no story we really want to see told in like a Pokemon movie per se. Like, there's this huge epic story to the World of Warcraft, for example, and you basically have to take a chunk out of it and tell it in a film format or something.
That made the mistake of decidedly being, this is the first chapter.
Right, or what exactly, or, you know, we're not really the fans aren't really clamoring to see the live-action adventures of Ash and Misty and Brock from the anime.
Those are Pokemon characters?
They're trainers.
Oh, okay. Who do not, as far as I can tell, don't appear in this whatsoever.
No, which that's just it. They could be in this universe.
Sure.
Which is the thing that Pokemon fans want to see is they want to see a functioning, breathing Pokemon world that is people living
there.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's ultimately like it's Who Framed Roger Rabbit world. It's a world where humans and Pokemon have live side by side forever, and that's just a thing, and no one is like, a Pokemon, what the fuck is that thing, which is what I would be. They're like, no, it's
who's trying to talk?
They're like, oh, I got a Pokemon, you got a Pokemon, and then the premise of saying, like, well, now there's a big city that not only do people have the whole Pokemon trainers who fight Pokemon, but they're like, no, this is the idea to get away from the previous idea of Pokemon fighting each other and being slaves, and where Pokemon live side by side with humans.
It still happens in this world, just not in this city.
No, it's illegal underground fights.
Mythology is really weird for this.
To make it clear, this city is a little bit outside the standard, and also it's also pretty far outside the actual Detective Pikachu game, which is more, it's not real detective, it's Pikachu in a puzzle game. In, like, talking to other Pokemon, this is, they kind of adapted that with some film noir, with, you know, as Chris said, byways of Roger Rabbit, and it kind of works. It's very much a kid movie,
before
but it works.
Before we get too deep into it, I'm Chris.
Yeah, I was gonna
I'm Ben.
I'm Alan.
I'm Morgan.
I'm Matt.
Oh, Morgan, I choose you.
Aww. Aww, I choose you too.
So happy you're on a review.
Me too.
This is her first review, actually. I just realized that.
Oh, is this your first Highly Suspect review?
Yes.
You've been on a lot of Gigantica.
You've been on Gigantica. She's been on The Gatherings.
Yes.
Subscribe today. And
he's so good.
Available on iTunes.
Can I choose Matt and Morgan? Is there a ball for that fits both of you?
You can have more than one Pokemon.
Oh, okay.
That feels like they would dice hanging from your windshield teeth Pokeball. It
feels like there'd be some real passive aggressive shit going on behind the scenes with the Pokemon, with the guy who owns a bunch of them. It's like,
well, yeah, that might be.
Well, I mean, that's what this movie sort of establishes, is that, like, in this city anyway, you have, like, just one partner Pokemon.
Yeah.
As opposed to the way it's been established in the games and in the past, you essentially collect Pokemon. And I think you can have six at a time.
Yeah, in a party.
Yeah.
So this is very much Pokemon Yellow and some of the ones onwards, where Pokemon Yellow is the first one where you got Pikachu as a starter Pokemon, and Pikachu would literally follow you around the game. It's kind of basing off that, where, yeah, you can have other Pokemon, but you have one that's your best friend and it'll follow you, and other games have taken from that, too.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think that they made that choice because your general audience is going to see this and be like, why are they just, like, putting these cute little things in tiny balls?
Yes.
It seems fucked up.
Yes. It is fucked up.
That's exactly like why they couldn't rules. Do that. That is exactly
that's also
why
they didn't have 10-year-olds being thrown on the wild by their parents saying, time to fend for yourself, Timmy. Go ahead and become a champion.
I mean, I think that this was probably the best way they could have gone about it because Pokemon, of course, being a Japanese property, it has a certain, you have to accept certain things going into it as just a given. That the Pokemon are generally okay with being put into balls and used for essentially superpowered cockfighting.
So it's kind of a BDSM relationship.
Yeah, that's not that far
There's
off.
A shot in the rated R version of this that Ryan Reynolds threatened that's like a Pokemon who's just like in total gimp gear tied to a bed.
I'm not okay with that.
That's called Jinx. It's okay.
No!
No!
I will say they do address the Pokeball thing pretty early on, actually, with Akubo. It's like, no, they actually have to want to be with you and be in the Pokeball. If they don't,
but he's not gonna like clunk him in the head with one. It's like if I saw like a dog at water, he's like, I'm gonna throw a rock at this dog, see if it likes. Like it's like it's a weird. I'm just gonna hit this dog in the head real quick, and the dog turns.
I'm gonna beat this dog down until it has no choice but to be friends with me.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
I mean,
the granular with the Pokemon Safari, you can either throw meat or rocks at them, and then you try to catch them.
The way it's implied in the comics, the way it's implied in the games and the broader Japanese universe is that once a Pokemon is defeated in battle, it's sort of honor-bound to now be with you because it recognizes you as inherently stronger than it in some way.
It's a mechanic that works better for the games, and it does not work well for a narrative, especially in 2019.
It makes sense that they broke away from this and found a different story. And that story is Matt Frank.
Oh, here we go. All right, so there's this Okay, so in
we've established
this universe,
a setting.
We've established a setting that there's a city that where Pokemon and humans are encouraged to live side by side, as opposed to whatever else. But what really kicks off the core narrative is Tim, our main character, played by
Justice Smith, yeah.
Who we previously saw in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom last year as a much screamier, shoutier version of this.
Oh my god, that was him!
I much prefer him as this kind of more restrained character as opposed to dinosaurs!
Well, I prefer everything else in that movie outside of that movie.
Yes, that too. We can just take Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom and put it in a bin. But anyway.
I still can't believe that's Matt Frank talking about a dinosaur movie that way. But okay. Please. That should tell you how bad that movie is.
I have a functioning frontal lobe. So
I was so proud of you.
Yay. So anyway, he one day basically gets called to Rhyme City, this Pokemon Utopia, because his father has been reported dead, and his father was a detective. He goes to try to figure... He isn't even trying to figure out why what happened to his dad.
He's just there to collect his shit, basically.
He's just there to clean stuff up and just say goodbye, quote-unquote, because his dad had this big falling out, yada yada. Then, of course, he discovers his dad's partner Pokemon, who's a Pikachu.
Yeah.
And the Pikachu can talk, but only to Justice Smith.
Okay, so to be clear to non-Pokemon fans... Humans cannot understand Pokemon. They have different languages. Pokemon can understand each other. Humans cannot understand them. In this particular case, it's weird for both the Pikachu and for the human because he finds a vial of this weird gassy stuff that he inhales by accident, and all of a sudden he and this Pikachu can understand each other.
Right? Well, it's not even initially established that that's the thing that creates the connection.
Right.
It seems pretty clear. They kind of take that leap, but then the movie, to not spoil stuff, it goes... Another place that it's not exactly if that is what's happening or something else is happening.
Yeah, it's a little vague in that respect, or maybe we missed something. Right. I don't know. But there is this running plot thread of these, like you said, these little vials of pink gas, purple gas, that basically make Pokemon go crazy.
Yeah.
And that's an extra layer of threat on top of that.
It's Pokemon
and then,
crystal meth, basically.
Yeah, it is.
Oh my god, because there's a Pokemon crystal.
That's the name of the game.
I was going to say it's that rage virus thing from Zootopia.
Oh, yeah. And because Pokemon are normally fairly peaceful, unless they're in the wild and they're fighting each other. But, and then, what's her name? Catherine Newton plays Lucy Stevens, who's a reporter on the case. And I actually really like her introduction because it's framed in such a way as to almost be the. I do like that there's a dame joke in this in this movie, but she almost is introduced as the dame coming into the Gumshoe's office,
kind of the femme fatale.
But then, of course, they subvert that by being like, "Oh, she's a reporter, and she's kind of on the hunt for whatever is going on, whatever conspiracy is going on that Tim's dad is all." Tied up in.
Right. And we meet along the way, Bill Nighy plays Howard Clifford, who's this guy who is the person who came up with the idea humans and Pokemon can get together and built this city for rock and roll. And
you got there before the Pokemon I could say.
And his son, who is kind of just a wormy, like, non-likable
guy.
Kind of around, who clearly doesn't agree with him about everything that's going on.
We just have a shitty relationship.
But, like, yeah, Bill Nighy is, like, this kindly benefactor to the city who eventually gets in a situation where he set up with a kid and says, like, here's some information you didn't know. I think your dad is still alive, and I need you. I was working with him, and I need you to go find your dad because we need to figure out some shit is going down. And we see in the beginning it's tied into, I forget the name of the Pokemon.
Mewtwo.
Which I kept hearing as Mewtwo.
Is it just called a Mew in the game?
Well,
Mew is the progenitor.
Okay. There's an ancient
Mewtwo. Is that in the game as well? Mewtwo.
They actually reference Mew, that it's from the Kanto region
created
game.
From fossilized remains of Mew.
Right.
Voiced by Bono.
And nobody likes it because uploaded that whole album to your iPhone by Mewtwo. Nobody wanted it. Nobody asked.
I literally kept hearing Mewtwo. It was like, Mewtwo. And I was like, God, is this like a subliminal thing? Is Mewtwo have their fingers in Pokemon?
Well, pretty much whoever translated from Japanese was really lazy and said it must be Mew the second. So Mewtwo.
Sure.
I mean, who knows? I mean, a lot of Pokemon retain their Japanese names, and a lot of them are completely different. So like Charmander is Hitokage, but Charizard is Lizardon. So take from that
well,
what
Mewtwo,
you will.
According to this movie at least, is the most powerful Pokemon that's ever existed.
Which is not entirely true anymore, but whatever.
See, in the beginning, it's escaped from the scientific research facility, and it sends a laser blast down that like zaps a car that's driving on the bridge.
By the way, spoilers.
Well, no, that happens in the first 2 minutes of the film.
I guess that's true. Yeah,
that's like literally the first
thing. I knew that Mewtwo was going to be in the movie, but I never knew how involved he was going to be, which I appreciated. They sort of dial back on that in the trailers.
But like we're like, so there's a mystery. What's the deal with Mewtwo? Why was he in the scientific facility? What's going on? Why did he attack that car? Which, you know, not that long into the movie, we discover was the car that the dad was in and died in. And we're like, okay, so what's the deal? And why does Pikachu not have any memory in the voice of Ryan Reynolds?
I do want to say, first off, even from the beginning, I was like, well, the car clearly wasn't just in a car accident. Something blew up behind it. And even the police have a video of that. They're like, yeah, your dad just died. We're not going to really investigate
it. It's fine. It's normal.
Like, there's an explosion behind his car. Yeah. Investigate
I'm happy we're getting, because after we just got through the plot and what's kind of set up, this is everything about this movie that does not work at all. It is just like, it's a classic new thing of like these new detective or like noir plays where what detectives do is just bumble around until someone explains to them where to go next. Yeah. And then they bumble around and someone else explains to them what's happening. And then everything that was going to happen happens and they stop nothing. It's like, oh, what a great detective story this is.
It's really
frustrating.
The real detective in this movie is Lucy and her Psyduck, which, by the way, I don't know what kind of lunatic partners with a Psyduck.
Yeah, because they explode.
They have explosive psychic headaches.
If you're Misty did it, so that should tell you all you need.
Well,
to know
Misty, that was not by choice. I don't remember what happened in the anime, but didn't she take the Psyduck out of pity?
I think so.
Jesus.
Then it evolves into Golduck, and it's badass.
You describe it, by the way, that way, that Lucy's kind of the detective and the hero. It's kind of like the Big Trouble in Little China film noir, and it's kind of funnier that way.
I mean, it is absurd, and it's certainly not the first movie I've seen that takes detective tropes and isn't really a detective movie it's like, okay, well, this is all the villains are ultimately going to get right to the point of winning, and then the heroes will use what information they do have to figure out and defeat them.
But there's like this huge set piece in the, like, this stuff, this movie is just like, it's just rolling along, it's just going, and it's kind of just made for people who are fans of this to look at it and be like, oh, sweet, I'm seeing my favorite Pokemon on screen, like, and not much else matters, which isn't, I'm not saying it's bad, because the world building is great, and Ryan Reynolds, his quips, his little funny lines work throughout. I think he's very charming in it.
They're funny. He's very PG, but nonetheless manages to be charming and funny.
But it's weird, because I feel like this movie's wanting to be, it's not really a kid's movie through and through, although it's definitely aimed towards them, but it's almost trying to aim for like what a Marvel movie does now, or like where it's like
skews younger.
Skews younger than a Marvel, but it's still wanting to get like your teenagers and your adults who are nostalgic for this thing and get like all quadrants, as they say, in on this movie, and it's kind of a little too kiddie and dummy for that.
I will say, it feels like throughout, like, they didn't really give Ryan Reynolds a script. They just keep riffing on this until you find something that's good, and they just pick the best PG ones they could put in, which honestly isn't a problem, because he clearly stayed on track when he was riffing.
I'm not sure this would have worked as well as it did without Ryan Reynolds, quite frankly, and I think overall it does work pretty well, but you're right, it does skew much younger. I kept saying, I feel like they could have aimed a little higher in age. I mean, I don't want a rated R Pokemon movie. Well, I do, but I didn't expect a rated R Pokemon movie, but I feel like they could have aimed up a little bit more, the adults.
I'm kind of torn on it, because you want the adults who bring kids to this have something to watch who are not into Pokemon. And I was reminded in the screening that there are still a bunch of little kids who are super into this. And I'm of the age that I should be into this. Like, it came into popularity when I was very young, but it has totally missed me.
Yeah, me too.
I have no idea what was going on up there. I was just like,
I'm 30. It caught me right at the right time when I was a kid. I've been playing it at least periodically since and still care about it to an extent. So it's like, yeah, there's a lot of adults that really like this. I know Cargill loves Pokemon. Probably harder than almost anyone in this room.
To a disturbing degree, indeed. But there's so much Pokemon lore hidden throughout this movie. Like I said, it's like they filled every frame with details. There's always stuff going on in the background. There's got to be 3,000 different Pokemons in this movie. They're everywhere.
Well, it almost felt like
every time I turned around, there was one I'd never seen before.
I'm not like I said, I'm not that familiar with... I mean, that's what Morgan and I were both remarking on, was we were like, man, there's a bunch of Gen 3 and Gen 4 Pokemon in here that I just have no idea.
Yeah.
I've never seen that one before. But once you kind of pick up on their general silhouette, you start to notice that there's not that many compared to how many there are in the overall canon. But I get it. Their budget can only stretch so far.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, how many are there in the overall canon?
Well, the amount of animation that they were actually putting in there, too. I mean, each one is doing something. Like, I noticed there's a scene where they're walking through a market street, and there's a Greninja, which, if you don't already know them before the movie, you get to see them a lot more in the movie. But there's, like, they have, like, a ninja scarf made of their tongue. And he's like, you see him, like, shifting his weight and adjusting that in one scene. I'm like, that's actually kind of awesome that they're, each Pokemon has little mannerisms as they're in the backgrounds of scenes, which, it's like, that's a lot of work to do for a bunch of animators to, one, model these, two, make them work with all the lighting here, and then three, they're still doing things, and that's a lot of work, and it actually pays off for most scenes.
Yeah, and it's to the credit of the creators of the things that they know, like, the one way this movie's going to be successful is if they don't skimp on that type of detail.
Right.
And, like, the money, because the animation's really good-looking, too. Like, it looks good, and, like, people have been wanting to see something this high-budgeted in this world won't be, like, disappointed.
Yeah, they didn't make the mistake of, like, giving them all teeth and trying to make them look like... It's like a Pokemon would look if it really was in the real world. They pretty much look like they do in the games, but with maybe a little bit of, like, a little furrier.
Yeah.
A little more animated moving hair.
I also want to say they made the city really good, too. It has that kind of neon, almost Blade Runner neo-noir look, but also then still, like, in the further distance you get to see it as, like, a big metropolis. Instead, it's like... Cool, they have the different layers of a city mapped out, which is honestly some bigger world building than a lot of movies put that kind of thought into.
I'm quite frankly shocked they did put that as much thought into this as they did, and that I'm kind of impressed, despite the fact I'm not totally in love with this movie, but it wasn't directed at me at all. But it is directed at people like me who have kids who would see this and go, that wasn't so bad at all.
I wanted to remark again, I'm back on the subject of the designs of the Pokemon, because I really wish that some of them had just slowed the fuck down so that I could appreciate their designs a little bit. Like, the artist that they, I think the lead artist that they got to actually redesign the Pokemon for the movie, I don't remember his name, but you can find him pretty easily online. He, like, started making fan art of these super realistic, kind of reconstructed Pokemon on DeviantArt, on his DeviantArt profile, and it's like you can see the DNA of where they wound up in the film, but just as a fan art project, he started making, like, he'd take a Pokemon, find its closest animal equivalent, and basically mash the two together, so you get a Squirtle that looks more like a turtle, like on all fours and stuff, or maybe stands on its hind legs a little more awkwardly and has a smaller head and stuff, but they hired that artist based on that fan art he did. I believe he's a Ubisoft artist, I think.
Okay.
But anyway, but I do remember that they actually did make full sculptures of each of a bunch of these Pokemon and use that to base the CGI off of. And I'm thinking to myself, could you guys have maybe made a puppet or two so I could have really appreciated the detail? Because the Greninja, like, you know, it has its tongue around its head like a scarf. That's a great little detail that, if I didn't know what Greninja looked like, I would have no idea that's what it was, because they're moving so fast, because it's like, we can't focus on it too long! Our money is limited! We spent all this fucking money on this one Pikachu!
Well, it's also a super fast ninja. I mean, come on, you gotta get some points.
Whatever. Yeah. I want to see the detail of a cool monster.
No, I do. I'm looking forward to the special features on the Blu-ray of this, actually, where they have that.
This must be about people who are, like, not into Marvel movies, and I'm, like, talking about it.
Yeah.
This must be what they feel like. You're talking about a dude with a tongue wrapped around his head, and this is, like, a guy, and I was like, what the fuck? There's a guy wraps his tongue around his head? It's so wild.
It's a 6-foot-tall frog with a really long tongue, and it throws ninja stars made of ice. It's very simple. Come on.
I mean, I can't say I was totally foreign to this genre. I was actually deeply into the Monster Rancher games when those came out. Nice. It was a Pokemon knockoff. But as you put, like, CDs that you own in your system, your PlayStation, it would read it, and based on what CD it was, it would get information and create a new monster off of it. So everyone was going to use CD stores to get whatever that people would discover. Dude, if you get the fucking Aerosmith's third album, it creates a super rare monster. Like, shit like that.
Man, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it was. I went out and bought a lot of UCDs to get of bands I did not care about at all. But let's go to final thoughts. Ben, get us started.
Yeah, as I said, I'm kind of a big fan of Pokemon, and as even Alan said, it's kind of made for big fans of Pokemon. Like, I don't know all whatever 600 or 1,000 there are now. I remember the first 100 very well. I know sporadic parts of the others, and it's great to see as many of them here. And some I already didn't know, and it's like, cool, you did some cool things with even Pokemon I didn't know. But overall, the story is average. They even belie their, give up their villain really early. They're like, they try to make it as a false positive, but they also call it as a villain. Like, themselves, they do this, and it's kind of disappointing to me, because I'm like, kids aren't that dumb. Let them have some fun with that, where they have to learn these things. But, again, the designs are great. The world is great. Ryan Reynolds has a lot of fun with this. I'm really interested to see what they can do with the sequel, because they did already screenlight it for a sequel, I think.
Not surprised.
Yeah, no, it's going
to
make...
I know this is a license to print money.
It's going to make money hand over fist. And honestly, I think it deserves that. Kids will do great with it. Hopefully, if they make another one, they see the room to adapt it and grow and maybe be more, adaptive with some wider humor and stuff on that. But we'll have to see. So I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 invisible doors.
Alan?
Everything we've said so far, the world building is great. I think Ryan Reynolds is really funny. But there are, I want to hold it to a slightly higher standard for storytelling, because, an example of a movie that's aiming for, a similar audience, different fan bases, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse just came out. Definitely aimed towards kids, adults, everyone can see this, enjoy it. And that script is just, fucking smart. It's just really
tight
well. And it's a super convoluted story in that. And they manage a way to do it without just scenes of exposition after exposition after exposition. And, sure, this is a Pokemon movie, but we can be a little better than, here's a flashback, and then here's a hologram explaining what just happened in the flashback, and then here's a villain to tell you exactly what happened. It's frustrating to, sit through stuff like that. But yeah, Ryan Reynolds is funny. The world is big and bright and fun to look at. They did not skimp on the designs and on the effort put into it. So, yeah, I'm going to go 6.5 things I do not understand on the screen out of 10.
Morgan?
Not to reiterate everything everyone just said, but yeah, it was not aimed at me personally. It definitely skewed a little too young for me to really enjoy it. And I agree that the script could have been a lot smarter. Based on the trailers, I was kind of hoping to go into this and this is going to be like a Lego movie type of situation, but this was very much like for tiny babies. And I'm really hoping that Because it's going to perform so well, hopefully, because Ryan Reynolds carried this movie so well, I really hope that they can expand in this universe. I think they left a lot of doors open to do that, and I hope maybe they can give us a better script next time, or something that's a little tighter, a little more thought through, and it's not just spoon-feeding you exposition every, 10 minutes. They're like, but the story, guys, but the story. Yeah, overall, I wasn't, super thrilled with it, but it wasn't bad. I'm probably going to give it 5 Twist Dads out of 10.
Matt?
Yeah, I felt like I was a little more charmed with it than everyone else here. I do agree with all of those points about the story, though. I felt like it was kind of baby's first twist on a twist on a twist. I've seen this story done better, but it felt like almost like that may have been the safest option, given it how inherently weird the world of Pokemon is, and if you're trying to get a general audience to follow what's happening, maybe a safe story is the way to go. But that being said, just as a, not to toot my own horn, but as a more discerning viewer who's seen stuff like this, it didn't super impress me.
Even Morgan made a face like, really, Matt?
What? What is that supposed to mean?
The more discerning view.
I mean that in the...
Says the woman that sees your Blu-ray collection at home, the English and the Japanese language one.
I mean, still don't really know what that's supposed to mean, but whatever. What I'm saying is that...
I share many of your tastes.
I've seen... this sort of thing before. And I mean, I know that this sort of thing should just be catnip for me, but I'm... I mean, whatever.
It did have kaiju in it.
No, it didn't.
Sort of.
No, it didn't. It had...
I kept looking at him during the scene going, ah? Ah?
And I was like, yeah, this is all right. I mean, it's... so they're big. but that was still a fun sequence. I don't want to get into the details.
Why did that sequence happen?
I wish there had been more detail in it.
It was just
how is their car okay?
Yeah, right. It was just kind of like, oh, this is a fun action sequence, and now it's over.
Yeah.
But whatever. Again, I was charmed by a lot of the audacity of it and how like
that's a good word for it.
Yeah,
it is audacious.
Yes.
They leaned into it, and they leaned into the like, here is the world of Pokemon with all of Hollywood's money behind it that we can muster. I was actually surprised that this was a Toho co-production. I think I had heard that and forgot about it because. As I understand, Toho is trying to get more into international filmmaking and trying to have a little more control over the sort of stuff that gets released in Japan and outside. Because the thing is that we're in an age where a large portion of what kids have grown up with are Japanese properties.
Yes.
They're either American or they're Japanese, and there's like two British things, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And, I think, and since Toho is the biggest company in Japan for making films, it's natural for them to be like, all right.
We want a piece of this pie.
We want a piece of this pie. And which is funny because it's almost like a throwback in and of itself. Like back in the day when there used to be like international co-productions, like this company partnered with this company from these two different countries.
Tora.
Yeah. Or a lot of it was Japanese-American co-productions.
Yeah.
Hammer and Toho almost made a monster movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It would have been about Loch Ness.
Man.
I'll tell you about it sometime. Anyway.
Didn't they do the Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires together?
No, that wasn't Japanese.
Oh. That was Chinese.
That was Shaw Brothers, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Shaw Brothers.
But, God, Chris.
I know.
Come on.
I know.
Anyway.
I've failed.
To wrap it up, I agree on a lot of those points. I just think that the film did just enough for me to at least keep me charmed by it. I did roll my eyes a couple times. I was like, what? Like, seriously? But I still had fun with it. I'm actually going to give it a little closer to a 7. 7 out of 10. Weird Japanese Pokemon names that I can't remember right now because I used to know a lot more of them. Because I looked for those toys back when they were coming out and couldn't find them. You had to go to, like, specialty import shops to be like, oh, wow, Articuno's Japanese name is Freezer.
Somewhere Pokemon just lost its wings.
She could be an Articuno.
But I think the plot it's adequate. I really wasn't expecting it to be, like, fulfilling on a plot level. And to some degree, it was much more entertaining of a plot than I would have expected at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, is it ridiculous? Does it even make no sense at points? Yes. But Ryan Reynolds goes a long way in this movie. It really does. And I appreciated the fact that they were seriously trying so hard to make a film that wasn't like you would expect from this new type of release in the past, just merely shitting something out in order to get a certain age group butts in seats. It's not that. They clearly put real effort into this thing to try and genuinely make an entertaining film. And I think on the whole, they succeeded. It skews young. There is it could have used more attention to the plot. It could have even used a bit more, a second or third take on the punch up wouldn't have been terrible, but it is occasionally quite funny.
It was almost like Ryan Reynolds was the punch up.
Yeah.
Because they could just CG him into a scene and nobody would have to react to him.
the mime Pokemon almost killed me. I thought that was hysterical.
That was such a great
Pokemon that only communicates in mime and actually has miming powers to make invisible
Is there
things.
Like a psychopath in this world who's like, that's my Pokemon?
Right?
Which is so weird, right? Because it's just so weird because in like the anime and everything, he actually just goes around going, Mr. Mime! And that's somehow worse.
That is worse. I'm glad he didn't talk.
Yeah.
I'm very happy. Although Psyduck, I was like, I would have kicked that thing.
The Mr. Mime is even creepier because, the Ash's mom joke is not false. Ash's mom is single in the cartoon, and later on it's like, oh yeah, I now live with this anthropomorphic mime character. He just lives with me and stays in my room with me. Don't worry about it, Ash. It's nothing to think about.
Oh my god. I don't think I need that much
chicken twist
mime Pokemon. But yeah, it's just bizarre enough. And I, like I said, I have almost no experience with this, so almost all these Pokemon creatures were new to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I don't know what that thing is. What does it do? And I found that actually kind of like interesting and rewarding along the way to discover some. I mean, I'll be honest, this actually made me want to play a Pokemon game, which I guess is the goal.
One of us.
I'm probably not going
Google
to.
Google gobble.
Just out of sheer lack of time and not owning a Nintendo anymore, I'm probably not going to. But still, like, I think that they're going to achieve said goal. And it was overall pretty darn fun. It's not a great movie, but it is it's an okay to decent one that kids are going to just fall over themselves loving the shit out of.
Listening to the kids in the theater was probably one of the more entertaining aspects of this experience.
You're smart enough to realize to entertain a kid, you have to constantly have shit going on, and this movie does not skimp on that. Mm-hmm. It moves very quickly, and even when there's a scene with just dialogue, there's always shit going on around it. And that very smartly done. I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 completely wasted castings of Ken Watanabe. Because what the hell was that?
He had some
Watanabe, sorry.
Well, he had some decent moments, I felt, because he is a hell of an actor. But,
but there's still, you've got,
barely in it.
You've got him. Why aren't you going to do more with him? Yeah. I was like, oh, look who it is. Oh, well, he's gone.
I was about to say.
And he's gone.
I was about to say, I looked up how many Pokemon there are. Right now, there's 719.
Oh, that's close. It? I would have expected there were even more.
Yeah, I thought there would be like 1,000 by now.
Yeah, how many Monster Ranchers are there?
Oh, man.
How many CDs you got? Yeah,